hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Awesome. Hey, welcome everyone. This is my pulpit this morning. It's an exercycle. Come baby. My wife said I had to get fit, so I decided that the only time I will sit still is when I'm got my 15 minutes in church, so. I don't think this helps at this speed, does it, eh? Anyhow, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the day, Lord God. As we look at your word, Lord God, let it change people's lives, let it hit hearts, Lord God. It make a massive difference to the way people leave, Lord God. Let them be leaving here totally different than when they came in this morning. In Jesus' name. Anyhow, let's get off this thing. Hey, we're doing a sermon series called All In. I don't need that pulpit, mate. It'll be cool. So I just want to read a bit from the word this morning. So King David's son, King Solomon, had this dream. In this dream, God asked him, "What can I give you?" And can you imagine being asked that from God? Normally we ask God what we want. God's saying, "What can I give you?" I might sit on that seat. It's actually quite comfortable. What would you ask for if he asked you what you wanted? Healing? Health? Wisdom? Well, yeah, well, that's one. What about long life and riches? New house? Flash house? Boat, car, you know, lots of things. But this is what Solomon says to God. He says, "I am but a child. I don't know how to proceed as the king over God's people." So he asked God for an understanding heart. Because he didn't ask for long life or riches or the lives of his enemy, God gave him an understanding heart and he gave him a bonus prize of wisdom. See, when our hearts are right, when our motives are right, God will give us our desires of our heart and even more. There are people in this room this morning that have understanding hearts. And God bless you. And there's people in this room that have great wisdom. And God bless you. Have both is very rare. That's why we need each other. That's why we need everyone in this room. Some of you have got great hearts. Some of you have got great wisdom. We come together and we help each other. Oh, pedal backwards. Help each other. Always forward. See, God told him there's no one like him. Then and after him. So he's the wisest. And he writes these words in Ecclesiastes 3. "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." See, Solomon starts off with this. He says, "There is a season for everything." See, before I came to know Jesus, before I came to faith, I thought seasons were about the weather. Summer and winter and spring and autumn. And winter is a tough season. When you go into winter, you know, every year it's tough, but it's only a season. You come out the other side into spring and life's great. And when I came to Jesus, I would hear people talking about seasons they were in. I think, what? I'm in a season, I'd say. These are Christian people. These are Christianese. I'm in the season. I hear people say, I'm going through a tough time. And I say, man, you better wait till winter. Then I would hear people say they're having a great season of growth. And I would be thinking to myself, what are they growing? To me, there's only one thing back then, and it wasn't tomatoes. Having a great season. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. But I finally caught on. We all go through seasons. Everyone in this room will go through a season. The Bible tells you there'll be seasons of war and there'll be seasons of peace. The Bible tells us there will be seasons of grief, but there will also be seasons of joy. And Solomon tells us we'll go through seasons of building and seasons of tearing down. See, we all have seasons in our life, but we need to be so careful that these seasons don't end up being cycles. Seasons and cycles are not the same. Seasons can change with time. Cycles can only change with you. Seasons will move in and we move in and out of. Cycles can be when you move into something, even seasons, and never move out of them, when you're stuck. When you're in a season, it's like winter. Let's get on the bike. It's hard. It takes your energy. It's tiring. You grow weary. But eventually we move out of it. But a cycle, it's hard. It sucks your energy. It's tiring, but you're stuck in it. You're going nowhere. Cycles are when seasons are changing, but see, a cycle is when seasons are changed, but when your resources are staying the same. What you've got, money-wise, whatever you're doing, stays the same. A cycle is when the seasons are changing, but your mindset is staying the same. See, a cycle is when seasons are changing and your relationship with your spouse isn't. You're stuck in a cycle. And the cycle is when seasons are changing, but my life isn't at all. Each week, each month, each year is the same, over and over, and I'm getting tired, over and over and over and over. And that's tough. We spend our whole life on this exercise cycle going round and round and round, exerting energy, trying to get out of that cycle, but it never happens. And then we stop trying. We say, oh, well, this is just too hard. Just ain't happening. I'm not changing. And we give up. And we accept our lot in life. And it makes us disappointed and angry. Guess who loves to keep us disappointed and angry? The enemy uses this disappointment to bring hopelessness into your life. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that you may have, and that you may have it more. Yes. See, this here isn't the abundant life Jesus is offering us. It isn't the season that Solomon is talking about. This is the thief taking away your joy. But I'm having fun. See, Jesus can break these cycles. 20 years ago, I was in a cycle, hurting and broken inside and felt betrayed. I was drinking a lot every night, masking the pain of my life. But only masked it for a few hours. I'd wake up next morning feeling lousy. I tried to stop drinking, but it was only thing that seemed to work. Only thing that masked my pain. The alcohol took the pain away at night, and the hangover added to the brokenness and hopelessness during the day for me. When I finally cried out to Jesus, it turned that cycle in my life to only a season of my life. See, in Mark 5:25, the story in the Bible, there's a few stories about this in the Bible. Mark 5:25 says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. This young woman had been in a cycle for 12 years. She couldn't make it end. It wouldn't end. It says, verse 26, she had suffered a great deal from many doctors. Listen to that. Not only has she been suffering from constant bleeding, but she had been suffering from those trying to heal her problem. Sometimes people giving you advice when you're on a cycle is not helping you break that cycle. Mates taking me out to drink didn't help me break my cycle. People telling you the best thing is to leave your spouse doesn't break the relationship cycle. Credit card companies increasing your limit doesn't break the cycle. You just keep on battling. She has suffered a great deal, it says. Back on the cycle. For many doctors, and over the years she has spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better, it says. Bleeding, doctors, money. Bleeding doctor's money, bleeding doctor's money. 12 years, can you imagine that? And guess what? In fact, she had gotten worse. All that pain, all that suffering, all that money, and she had gotten worse. Verse 27 says, she had heard about Jesus. Jesus had started to get a reputation for himself by this time. He had done a few miracles around. And by the time she had got there, by the time he had come around, she was looking to find him. So she came up upon him through the crowd and touched his robe. Might need a drink. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch the robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Oh, thanks, babe. Jesus realized at once the healing power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman trembled at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, your suffering is over. Her cycle was now broken. 12 years of hopelessness. She comes across Jesus, the hope of humanity. And now her cycle has just become a season of her life. Might have been a long season, but it's only a season. She's out of the cycle. Jesus says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come to give you life. And life more abundant. Another story in Mark 9, Jesus returns to his disciples and sees a crowd surrounding them and the teachers of the religious law arguing with them. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I've asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they cannot. This boy is in a cycle. Trolled by an evil spirit. Could you imagine how hard that would be? Not only for that boy, but for his mum and dad, seeing this stuff going on. This is a living hell for that whole family. Jesus says, bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into the ground in a violent convulsion. He fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. Listen to this reply, since he was a little boy. Can you imagine that? The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water trying to kill him. His mercy on us. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. And Jesus said, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. How to tick Jesus off with three words? If I can. See, a lot of the time we would put up with what we've got. And we stop trying to stop the cycle ourselves because we somehow think Jesus can't do it with us. And sometimes we don't even bother to ask him to help us get out of that cycle. When Jesus saw the crowd of the onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He couldn't hear and speak either. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. The murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and stopped him, so helped him to his feet and he stood up. Jesus broke the cycle of hell for that whole family, not just for the boy, for the whole family. And now the whole family had a new season of life. See, these are cycles when you're in them. But when Jesus breaks you out of them, they're only a season of your life. You don't have to stay like this. John 5 in NLT says, after Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days, three times a year the Jews would head into Jerusalem to the temple and they would have a house party to celebrate what God had done for them and how great God was. Verse 2 says, inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. By the way, Bethesda means house of mercy. I would love this place, Eastside C3 Church, to be called a house of mercy for this community, eh? It says here, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, lay on the porches. All these sick people are lying around all over the show, feeling hopeless, on the floor listening to people partying in the temple. It wasn't far from the temple, so when the people are screaming and yelling, celebrating God, they were in there lying on the floor, hopeless. That's why I love that we have parties in here and music, because the people in these surrounding areas hear something's going on in here, and there's hope. That's why we have the house party and we have church every week, to invite those around us that have no hope to come and celebrate with us. You don't have to believe to belong to this church. You can belong just by coming in the door. Funny in the Bible, see, this goes from verse 3 to verse 5. There's a verse missing out of that passage. And it's on the bottom of your Bible. It says, waiting for a certain movement of water. What they did there, they go there to wait for the water to stir. And then they would try to get in to be healed. Verse 5 says, one of the men laying there had been sick for 38 years. Sick for 38 years, lying there for who knows how long. Could have been 38 years times three. How many house parties he missed out on? Who's the accountant here? Helen. 38 years of listening to people partying next door, thanking God while they lay there waiting for the water to stir. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for such a long time, he asked, would you like to get well? Here's another great question. Sick. And Jesus asked that, do you want to get well? But look at his answer, I can't, sir. Jesus said, I didn't ask if you could get well, I asked, do you want to get well? Not if you could get well. Sometimes we tell ourselves we can't. We can't get out of this cycle. We're peddling. Verse 7 says, I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Isn't that the story of your life? These guys have been lying around this pool. He's been there for 38 years, waiting for the water to move, trying to get to the water, waiting for someone to put him in, relying on himself and on other people. Jesus steps over many sick people to get to this man. See, Jesus doesn't just help the easy ones. Jesus doesn't just help the best looking ones. Jesus doesn't help just help the good ones. He helps the desperate ones. Greater the need, greater the miracle, eh? Yeah, Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. Instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Have the band up, please. Hey, that song we said, you're free indeed. Whom Jesus sets free is free indeed. If he sets you free, if he breaks you out of that cycle, you're out of that cycle. For this guy, 38-year cycle was now a season of his life. Quite a big chunk of his life, but a season. It's never too late to break the cycle that you're in. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's really hard. Everyone in this room, including me, are going through seasons. We've just got to watch that it don't become cycles. You know, and every one of these people in the Bible were at the right place at the right time. And if you're in a season that's going on and on and on and on, could be your health, could be financial, could be relational, could be an addiction, drugs, alcohol, porn. The enemy wants you to stay in that cycle. Once he has you there, has you locked away from the amazing plans and purpose our God has for your life. Like the woman with the blood cycle. I want to encourage you this morning to take some of his healing power from Jesus. And this morning, guess what? You're not only in the right place, you're not only at the right time, but you are with the right person. It ain't me, it's Jesus. Jesus wants to break your cycles this morning. If you're in here and you've got a cycle this morning, Jesus wants to break that off your life now.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.